from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It is delightful to be with you here this evening.
All right. So I was recently accused of not washing my hands after I went to the bathroom.
Why are you saying this right now?
And as a result, now I make a big show of it. Like I walk out of there.
Yeah. Oh, no paper towels this time, friends.
I didn't like the accusation. And so now when I... Especially if I'm out in public, I'll take some paper towels with me and still be drying my hands by the time I get out of there. I'll make a real show of it. So people are like, that dude definitely washed his hands.
Okay.
I'm glad this has changed your behavior to prove that you wash your hands.
Yeah, the truth is, because sometimes I don't. Whoa!
Good.
No one was surprised by that part of the story. Okay. Hey, Ben, what are we doing tonight?
Okay, here's what we got going on the program today, besides creating disappointment in the lives of the children of the neighborhood. We've got some bad Christian guidance for the new year. I've chosen a smattering of articles from our favorite beliefnet.com.org.us, and you guys are going to like them. We're going to see if we get some solid Christian direction for the beginning of the new year.
Oh, great. Love that so much.
Also, we were debating before the show started whether it's okay not to like Solomon.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. What's the case against Solomon? How should you react? I think similar questions may exist for David, parts of Samuel, Eli for sure, Moses at times.
Or people that have given their kids a biblical name and you're like, why would you name your kid Lamech? Did you read that story?
Yeah, actually.
It's like upside down king, friends.
It's the Old Testament stuff. Like people are like, oh, I named my kid Asa. I'm like, I don't know. You shouldn't have done that.
Most people are not bold enough to name their kid Noah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen it. You see it a little bit, you know. Yeah. But, like, there's not a ton of Noahs.
It's the homeschoolers. They do it.
It is probably most.
There are a lot of. There's a lot of Noahs.
I've never met a Jezebel.
Nope.
Oh, boy.
I've never met an Enoch.
That is discerning.
That seems to be the best one.
I know.
You should definitely name your kid Enoch.
Would we have a nick? Would you call him Eno? Like, what would you call him? Would you say full Enoch all the time or like?
I mean, I can't, because the only other thing I can think of is saying Eno or Nock.
Or Big E.
Big E?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to call your kid?
Yeah.
Mike, don't ever name a child Enoch. Okay. Hey, Big E.
Okay.
What's up, Big E Smalls?
Dan, do you remember like the most... not normal baby name that you like? Did you have one that you like gave up on, but you were like, I think this would work?
No, because I thought it was obnoxious, I just kind of cast it out pretty quick. So I can't even think of any that stuck long enough to be talked out of it.
Mm.
My wife is a nanny,
yeah,
and she has a running list of insane children's names that she hears in the nanny circles and, like, being yelled out at parks and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, there is some gold on that list. I'll see if I can grab a hold of the list.
Yeah.
And then we can go through some of them in the coming weeks. Because there's some doozies.
Yeah.
There's some real doozies where it's like, wait, people name their children that? Like, straight up, like, Apple. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think Apple Paltrow is an actual child in, like, celebrity world.
Yeah.
But, like, I think there are also, like, people in the Midwest that are naming their children Apple and, like, Pear. And Guinevere.
I got two that come to mind that my wife talked me out of. The first was Man, two N's.
Man?
Like Manfred.
Not even short for
As a matter of fact,
Manford?
I have a picture of Mike wearing a t-shirt that says roll sixes for Manfoost.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to get my wife to say if I could roll double sixes, then she should agree that we can call this kid Manfoost.
Oh, so this was your idea?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Manfoost? Okay.
Yeah. Could be Manafort. Manafort. Could be all kinds of cool names. Yeah. It could be.
You could call him Little Man when he's young and Big
yeah.
Man
What's
later.
Up, little man?
I
mean, yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah, yeah. I also.
Dang it. All right. I'm totally cool
man.
With this now.
Yep.
Shoot. It didn't even take that long to get me on this.
It's cool. I also felt very strongly about Graves.
Grave?
Yeah. Not Grave.
The name Graves?
Graves. Yeah.
Like the plural for grave?
Yeah. I thought that's a cool name.
Graves?
You could spell it you didn't have to say V-E-S. You could do A-E-V-E-S or something.
No. It'd be Graves Foos. No, you should spell it standard so people don't get mad at you.
I mean, he could, Anyway, Graves or what else did I want? Or,
not wishing sadness on your life, but like, here lies Graves Foos.
I mean, eventually. Just saving the trouble.
Eventually, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, not wishing sadness on you. And Graves may make it to 85.
You could literally make graves in the gardens. Literally.
Not to stick along that line, but I also like Ransom.
Jeez. Ransom Foos?
Okay. I want to name my kid Larceny.
Okay, now that one.
It sounds like you're trying to name a boxcar child in 1935.
Okay, that one though, it was the name of one of the characters from, like, the lead character in C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy. His name was Ransom.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was cool. That was a cool name.
I'm just imagining you having twins named Ransom and Battle, and I can only imagine those people actually born in 1935, because I can only ever envision my great-great-grandfather, Ransom.
Yeah.
Our
conversation was centered around what would their first-grade friends, how will they mock them, and that's how we always got rid of names.
My family never got to have that conversation, because it didn't matter what we named our first names. It was always going to be ridiculous based on last names.
Yeah.
And so
Buva's a rough one.
Yeah. Buva is a rough one. You can never win that one, especially in the Philippines.
Actually, I'm kind of curious. If you have, I don't know, what baby names, if you're of the age and life of which you've named babies, what did you reject that you're like, you were serious? I was serious about both of the Graves and Ransom and Man. All three of those I'm in. Yeah. So anyway, hit up that Life from the Path complaint line, 515-517-0085. Call or text. I wanted to name my baby what?
Stephanie.
That's not wild.
It is, though.
I find Stephanies to be 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
just on whether or not you like them as a person?
Yeah.
Whether or not they're good people.
They bring a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know. Here's what I'll tell you.
All the Stephanies out there, we're 50-50 on you.
I know a few Stephanies, like, right now that are good people, and I knew Stephanies when I was in elementary school that were good people, but then there's, like, a middle section of Stephanies.
It's a weird period of your life where Stephanies were rough.
No. We had the same conversation. Like, we're going to name him Fred, whatever. Like, oh, no, I knew a Fred.
That's true.
You know, you always go back to people you knew with the name, and you're like, we can't do that.
Think about this. Yeah. There's a guy named Brandon that I went to school with when I was like in second grade, and he ruined Brandon probably for multiple people.
Yeah.
Dang.
There was a
he was not a good Brandon.
There was a depreciation of Brandon's because of this dude.
The depreciation of Brandon's is an awesome band name, by the way.
Agreed.
That is awesome. Anyway.
Okay. So anyway, that's what we got going on the show this evening. I'm going to go, let's hit up, you guys, Buva, 1, 2, or 3?
Middle of the road. Let's do 2.
Okay. 4 reasons. Oh, what the heck is all this? Never mind.
You asked me 1, 2, and 3 and then went straight to 4 reasons.
Okay, here it is. 4 reasons God is keeping you single.
Oh, boy. In your marriage.
What?
Whoops.
Oh, no.
The subtitle, you want a relationship, but why won't God bless you with one? I'm real cautious on this premise here. Here we go.
You live in your mother's basement.
Number one.
Your name is Brandon.
It's not time yet.
Oh, cryptic.
Classic. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He knows everything is going on in your future and has the perfect timing for everything, for everyone that will enter your life. You must not go against his plan. We like this advice so far? This is terrible advice. It's terrible advice.
Yeah. Not in this context. I love it.
Well, I mean,
but in this context, this advice sucks.
If you extended it to other contexts, it's very difficult to take in. Yeah. All right. For example, there may be someone you're very attracted to, but you know they're not a Christian. Why are you dating them? God tells us not to be unequally yoked. Therefore, getting caught up with an unbeliever is a big mistake. Singleness at times can be lonely, but going outside God's principles in any way will only bring you more heartbreak. Okay. This middle part, kind of.
Hold up. Yeah. The first argument, or first in this list of 4 reasons why you're single, is you're actually in a relationship with someone who is not a Christian?
No, it took a weird turn. It's not God's timing. God has a plan, and you being single right now is part of it.
What if God doesn't care who you're with?
Mm.
I can understand. I'm with this person on be with someone who has a love for God. I think that's just wise.
Yeah, totally.
But maybe he doesn't care. That maybe there's another 1,000 people out there who would be perfect matches, and he's not going to be upset if you're with them.
Isn't that wild?
Right. Ooh, yeah. Maybe you're on ChristianMingle.com, and your dating profile sounds really, really rough, and like you're full of yourself and have nothing to offer. Yeah. And then the whole time you're sitting there going, why is God keeping me from a relationship?
Yeah, but Dan's even got a surprise from the Rez here. He's saying, what if you don't have a soulmate?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, who says there's only that one?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, what if humans are not all that unique? You know, like.
But he knit me in my mother's womb.
Boy, this show's not going to make the Valentine's Day card.
He knit you in your mother's womb to look like the other guy and to act similar to him. I don't know. That's the problem is like with a fatalistic point of view that way, right? Like. When it doesn't work out, whether it was by your cause or the other person's cause or whatever, mm-hmm. you're almost left to go, God screwed me, right? Like he did not fulfill his promise. Sure, right. He did not do the thing that he was supposed to do. I waited and I waited and I waited for God to bring this perfect man or perfect woman. And then at the end of the day, what it turns out, what it really helped is if you showered on a regular basis and weren't a self-centered boob.
Right.
If you did those two things, then the dating world opens up. A little bit. And you were maybe considered the people that you were going to date. One, that they followed Jesus in a way that you shared some common values in how you look at life. But like, there's a lot of things that like with the knowledge, both within the Bible and contextually with the humanity itself, that you could just do that right. Would probably help your plight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you are literally sitting in your apartment praying like, Lord, send me somebody. Send me someone to be soulmates with. God's like, maybe you should go out to the store. You're like, I ain't going out to the store. I have Amazon bring all my stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to listen to these spicy podcasts. Maybe a dude will show up who will show up and sweep me off my feet. You're like, hey, man, like you ain't going to meet nobody that way, right? Yeah. Like, it's not because God can't. He does not want to.
Yeah. If you're... Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I went to old school, you know, Bible college, right? And there was a whole entire dormitory full of women who loved Jesus. I don't think God was on the edge of a seat saying, I hope he picks the right one. You know, I mean, yeah. I've got that one for him. I mean, I happened to pick one that was really great. We've been together 40 years. But you know, there's a few others I could have chosen from who tried. And it's like, I don't think he would have been highly disappointed. You know, and it's like, nope, mm-hmm. That's not my plan. You're going down, buddy. I think that's right. Maybe, I don't agree with the premise of their argument here.
I mean, I think you're just a better dude than I am, Dan, because I think God... like directed me to the only option. I think I found the one, and he made it perfectly to where like that was awesome for me. I don't think there was a field of ladies.
Maybe you just drove the others away.
So like, I mean,
you're not wrong.
Is it possible that God does bring people together? I think the answer can be yes to that.
Yeah, and,
is it possible that he doesn't?
Yeah.
I think it's the same way. How you think about God's intervention in your life in general. Like,
right.
Can he give you something specific to do? Yeah. Yes, he can.
Sure.
Does it mean everything
every
in
time,
your life is specified? Actually, we were having this conversation at my house because we were talking about, setting goals for 2025. And, like, one of the questions was, should we even bother setting goals? Like, if God didn't give me one, and shouldn't I check with him first? I'm like, well, if your life otherwise aligns with the character of Jesus, then your goals will probably reflect that. Mm-hmm. But if you look at all your goals and you're like, I want a house that dominates the neighborhood and I want more power over people. I mean, these are not good goals.
I want to chop pumpkins with a hockey stick. Absolutely.
Why do your goals sound like Sauron? What's happening?
I guess that's the thing, though, is that like, hey, is it possible that I set a bunch of goals that are self-centered? It is possible, but like, it's kind of more of a heart issue. I think I would check, but like, I was thinking back on my goals for last. I mean, like, should I read my Bible more, find more dedicated time for prayer, and make sure that I'm using what God has given me to help others? Has been pretty consistent on the list. Like, I'm not after world domination.
Yeah,
but actually, if you think about, it, I want to take out pumpkins with swords. Like, if God is, if my son came to me and said, Dad, you know what I really want to do? It's like, I got a goal of taking out 7 pumpkins with this katana. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Let's do
that.
We can set that up.
Yeah.
And Daddy like, dude date. Heck yeah.
Sounds like a fall project, my son.
it was one of the
Andean pumpkin.
It was one of the things of like, hey, is it possible that you set a goal
that is like antagonist, like that you it would enjoy, but maybe God doesn't want you. I like it almost frames, I think, God's positioning toward us in kind of a, if I don't own your entire goal sheet, then I'm upset with it, as opposed to like if I found something that one of my kids delighted in and they wanted to like, hey, I really right. want to do this. I want to learn more piano. I don't have to go, did God say it was okay for you to learn piano? Now, like I'm exaggerating the thought, but like it's what it gets at when like, do I have to, if God didn't give me a goal, do I have any? Well, I don't know. Do you? Like it's okay.
True. The original goal was just go be fruitful and multiply, not be fruitful and multiply specifically with Karen. Dominion, go do it, have fun.
It does have like,
I'm sure there's plenty of theological arguments about what I just said was completely wrong and off the wall.
There's a
fine dealing in that reality.
There's a stretch where this stops, right? This is not all encompassing and you can't like stretch this to fit every situation, but like we're turning our affections over to him and letting God right, like change the affections of our heart,
right. Yeah.
And mostly to match his character. And right, is God well aware that there's pianos and katanas and pumpkins? And you know what I'm saying? Like you, they can be, you can have what are autonomous human character choices that are still within the affection of his heart, right? And so, like now, granted, there's a stop here because the affection of his heart is what we're going for. I can't just say the affection of your heart to mirror his, because like you, then people go off and do nutty things and then tie him to it like it was his deal, you know. But like really what we're submitting to is that he is creator, ruler, and overall benevolent God who wants to create his character in us and be a reflection of him, because that's where the joy and the freedom of the world he created comes from. And does that encompass learning to play the harpsichord with your thumbs or and with your toenails? Yes. Ugh. Yeah, it does. Right? Like if that's you got time for it and you know, you're otherwise submitting to what Jesus has, and your kids are loved, your spouse feels appreciated, and you're helping the folks. Yeah.
Right. Like it actually goes back to, in my mind, something you said before, Ben. It's like in this instance, right? Like if you're praying because you have, you know, the hots for Jenny, and like Jenny very obviously doesn't seem to have the hots for you. Yeah. And your prayer is, Lord, make Jenny like me, kind of thing, right? Like you are actively praying for the Lord to take away Jenny's will and so that she is now stuck on you and like really wants you to be in her life. You did not take any step back and go like, hey, am I the kind of person that attracts a Jenny?
Is that best for Jenny?
Best for Jenny? Like, am I going to be a good honoring person to Jenny that's like the right person here? Most of the time, people, and this certainly myself here, and I'm calling myself out here because for years I prayed the whole single man's prayer kind of thing. And rarely did I take a step back and go like, Lord, can you help make me into a person that deserves to be or is the right person to be in a relationship? Like, Lord, allow me to be a good enough man so that I can be loving to one of your daughters and honoring to them.
Yeah.
I prayed that when I was in my right mind sometimes, but most of the time I'm just sitting there sad and angry because I'm like, man, this is ridiculous.
I'm a real smoke show.
Right.
Where's these gals at, Lord?
I look in the mirror every morning and go, this is what the Lord made today. Yeah. Right? And like, I never thought to myself, maybe a bunch of gals don't really care about the difference between 4th and 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons and how the mage class went to this and blah, blah. Like, it's just like, I never looked at what I was doing for me, nor was I ever really subjecting myself to go, God, what is your will for my life? Mm-hmm. I was very much just praying like, God, grant me my prayers or I will be angry at you.
Yeah. Yeah, you set yourself up to date another man like yourself.
Right. Lord, find me a booba. I really want to look in the mirror and see myself.
And I will say, like, it does not imply that the answer is always true the other direction. So, like, just because you do not have a mate or someone currently on the line doesn't mean that you're doing anything particularly wrong.
Right.
And like we said a few weeks ago, I actually do think things do tend to work out. The right person responds to you in the right way. But I don't know. I think if you pull it too far to the edge and go, well, it'll happen when God wants it to happen. Well, there's all kinds of things that God wants you to do that you are not faithful in doing or you're not participating in. So like you do actually still got to leave the house. You do got to, you know, smile at someone to know you are friendly. Like it's all kinds of stuff that you actually have to participate in life for someone else's benefit as well as your own. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like neither of those extremes are helpful, I think, when it comes to this question. Okay. Oh, Dan, were you saying something?
I was just kind of pondering that how many times has God had a specific plan for someone? You could maybe make an argument of, well, you look at the lineage of Jesus, there is a goal to have a Messiah. Mm-hmm. But then you even look at that and you go like, really? Was he hoping that, was it Jacob
Rahab was
that
be was in there?
Hanging out with his daughter-in-law?
Right.
I mean, you know,
yep, right.
He thought I was a prostitute. Yeah, I was like, come on, go for her. I mean, was that really the plan, or is that, well, that's what happened and it happens to work?
Yeah. God made it.
There's
work.
A lot of questions there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Was that the plan? I'm really hoping you make it with your daughter-in-law because she's dressed up as a prostitute, you know? Yeah.
We need a Messiah. I got a Moabite. Give me a second.
I mean, yeah, and like the same thing. Like, would Israel been able to continue just fine in their relationship as Yahweh as their king with judges? Yeah, probably. They asked for a king. They got one. And yes, Jesus comes through that. But did it have to be inevitable in that same way? I don't know.
Maybe that's why it took so long.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, just saying.
Multiple exiles and lots of kingdoms rising and falling and. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Number two, there were four reasons God is keeping you single. Number two, God isn't. Satan is.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Satan will do whatever he can to prevent a Christian marriage from developing because he wants to bring people far away from Christ. A great marriage can have the opposite effect where the couple's love of God only gets deeper and stronger. I will tell you that sometimes bad marriages chase people away from Jesus. And so I think that the opposite of this can be true, where like you marry a person, the marriage doesn't go very well, and there's some semblance of somebody saying that they follow Jesus, like they'll leave the person and walk away from the church and the dude
Whatever.
Or the lady at the same time. And so I'm not sure this is always true that direction. Marriage brings glory to God, so it's no wonder Satan would want to sabotage it. Spiritual warfare is something to consider if you struggle in your relationship with others. Does Satan whisper in your ear frequently, telling you to give in to temptation? Satan cannot make you do anything. Rather than try to overpower us, he works in more subtle ways. The devil's desire is to tempt us to sin and then to shame us for sinning. Maybe he tells you it's no big deal to lie to someone, or not an issue to start talking to someone who is bad for you. This is weird.
Do you think that maybe your brokenness would say all those things too? By the way?
Yeah.
Like you just being a human being and like you are selfish by nature. And so, of course, you're going to lie. And of course, you're going to go for things because you try and take everything into your own power.
Well, I mean, you're also protectionist by nature. You know, like you don't have to feel pain if you can like, so you tell yourself different things. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So either way, I would not jump to the Satan is like trying to keep me from marrying. Not that there are always bigger fish to fry, but there are bigger fish to fry.
Also, it gives Satan a lot more credit, right? Not omniscient, right? Not all-knowing. So at the end of the day going, I thwarted this maybe, possibly I think I stopped it. You know what I'm saying? Like they were going to be a good godly marriage. I can't see into the future, but I'm pretty sure I really got in on the ground level of breaking this up.
If you see this trend in Christian proposals where they're like, he asks, and then the lady goes, I do. And then just all of a sudden the dude turns around and is like, suck it, Satan.
You can't get me no more.
I wouldn't put a lot of stock into this particular one.
All right. Very interesting one.
Now, don't get.
What had just happened, Mike?
Mike says, but Beelzebul.
I don't think this is attributed to Satan. I think it's attributed to a broken humanity. You know, but like, yeah, parts of you are unappealing because you're a turd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, Satan is trying to get me to give in temptation. Did you put yourself in a situation where you were going to give in to temptation? Right? I mean, like, some of this is on you, and that's okay. But you're also, it's on you, but it is through his strength and power if you're willing to take it. Right? If you're willing to ask him for it and submit to it, then you will find that his strength is more than enough. And like, there'll be times when you tend to give that back to him and go, I got this on my own. And then you're going to find yourself in a little bit of straits sometimes. And that doesn't cover every situation. But I think overall, right, like it's a cop-out to blame Satan for this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And it makes it sound like it's way more complicated, but it's relatively binary to say in the presence of something that says, hey, you should probably change your behavior. You either can grab on a hold of it, stick it inside like your mind and let it sink you, or you can go, hey, someone told me that there's something about how I'm behaving that is keeping me from things that I care about. I'm going to try to change that.
You know what? Like ever since when I was a kid, this is going to sound so stupid. I've always wanted to stick my hand inside of a spinning fan.
That is stupid.
I've always wanted to do it.
I get it. I've done it. It's great.
Okay.
I totally get it. I've done it on multiple occasions because I couldn't stop it. It was the best.
It is a thing.
So, yeah. So at the end of the day,
shut
though.
Up, Ben, you don't know what you're talking about.
At the end of the day, I've never done it. I've never.
You pansy, do it. Start with a plastic fan, though.
I always thought this isn't worth it. Like, it's just, like, I really want to know what it feels like to stick my hand in this fan, but I'm not going to do it. So and here's the thing. It's like, I will think back to that example when I've been in situations where things feel like, oh, man, I really want to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? And I think, remember all those times that you didn't stick your hand in a fan even though you really wanted to? It's possible.
Right, you could say no.
You could say no.
Yeah. Oh.
And listen to
fellas. Except for Booba, apparently.
There are plenty of situations in which you should say, no, this is not one of them. This is a joy that you're not taking advantage of. The Lord gave you a drive. He said, Mike, my son, I'm going to give you a desire. And I saw that it was good. Yeah. Stick your hand into a fan.
He's wielding a white towel in heaven. Stick your hand in that fan.
only plastic and wooden fans. But that's it. Don't
I was going to say, I grew up in the 70s. It was a big box metal fan.
Okay, I didn't do that.
And it was great.
And then my brother, Three Fingers McGee.
They call me Stubby.
Yeah. What's the matter, sir? Were you in the war? Yeah.
Yeah.
A war with the blades.
War with the blades. Oh, that sounds biblical.
Me and my buddy Graves were in an abandoned house.
We had a best friend named Ransom.
Listen to me. You tell me two brothers named Graves and Ransom aren't doing something in the world. Something.
Yeah, and it's not good.
Oh, it's good.
Graves and Ransom are not bringing Jesus to people.
They're vigilantes for Christ. For sure.
Yeah. They get up every morning and go, let's get in some holy trouble. Look at the,
Where's that guy with his face on the panties? He's going out.
Look at those spiritual bonfires, Graves and Ransom.
Okay, number three. Four reasons God is keeping you single. Number three, you are lowering your standards. Oh, interesting. A bad marriage is infinitely worse than your worst day as a single person. Till death do us part is a very, very long time.
Preach on, brother.
Man, this you're is not wisdom. With someone because you've lowered your standard?
Yeah. Hold on. Maybe
did I hear that wrong?
Maybe they're going to bring it back around. There are a ton of people who were sure they needed nothing more than to get married, only to quickly realize once married how wrong they were. Instead of taking things slowly, they are quick to jump on anyone that could jump on anyone. Why would they say that?
Good, like sticking your
that's
hand
that
in
temptation
a fan.
Thing.
Goodness me. I apologize. This is a sensitive topic on the program. Anyway, that gives them attention. They push standards aside and justify the bad relationship. If you want to be rash, impulsive, or move forward without truly knowing who they are, then don't be mad at God when you are married without happiness. That's not the That's same not, reason what? Why you're single.
This is such a poorly worded argument.
This is jump the shark.
It doesn't make any sense on any level.
When you desire a relationship so badly, you begin to idolize it. You ruin your chances of having one at all. No, you don't. You just get a bad one. That's what you just... Okay, we're going to skip this one.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, make any right. Sense. You know what's keeping you from being single? God. Yeah.
Dating dumb people.
Satan is doing it too. Wait, what?
Okay, option...
And so are you.
Option number four. Four reasons God is keeping you single. God... just so you know, there's a pensive Asian man taken from Shutterstock.com. So they... You can see it. You can see the tag at the bottom.
He's forlorn, for sure.
He's thinking it over. God doesn't grant every promise.
God doesn't grant every promise?
Did he promise you?
Yeah, I don't... That's weird.
You mean grant every petition?
Yeah, that would be better. But if it's a promise and he doesn't grant it, then
we're all promised
then
a special
we're
person.
In rough spots believing in him.
Agreed.
Like, that's kind of the whole point of the faith.
It's pretty rough for Jesus.
I have faith that he's a promise keeper.
Yeah, this one's a theology turner, this one. Here we go. The Lord promises us peace and joy with him. However, he does not promise us a removal of all desires every time we ask for something, which we are while we are here on earth. Desiring to be married does not mean you will marry any more than desiring to be healthy or believing you will be healthy does not mean you are not going to get healthy. It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't guarantee.
What the heck are
you talking about? I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what's
happening
right now.
Yeah, well, I...
Okay. This is one of the most poorly worded articles I think I've heard us read.
Do we get to rate these articles? Like, give them 5 stars or
hold on, let's
one.
See who...
Do we have an author?
Megan Bailey.
Megan, I'm so sorry.
Okay, all right.
That hold you on. Chose this profession.
Okay, that one's out. We're going to do that. Listen to me. It's okay. It's not at all... God is not mad at you or something because you're not married.
Right.
Now, but it is possible that you are single...
for things that are within your control. Not all of them are like to the depths of your personality, but if you're not meeting people, then you're not going to meet people. If you're not actually showing people that you might be interested in them, it's harder for them to be bold and show that they're going to be interested in you. And so you got to take some chances, take some risks. You got to be among folks to find folks. And so those might be my encouragements. It's it's possible God has a specific thing in your life. I'm not sure that's a normative pattern. But here's the thing. If you knew it, then you probably wouldn't be stressing over this question a lot. You'd be like, I kind of wish, but this is what God has for me. And that's like Mother Teresa wasn't fighting it because she's like, this is the thing.
Yeah. If you are overall doing the things, right, like you're taking care of yourself, you are submitting to God's characteristic of what a spouse would be, like you're in a place where you can be in a loving relationship and give for all those things, right? And it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. Like, your father is a loving father who likes to give good gifts, right? So, like, that I would trust him with, right? But, like, I think it's the short-sightedness that goes, it's nothing I'm doing. It's either as a result of Satan, Satan's interference in my ways, or me lowering my standards, which should have stayed high. Like, none of that article said, here's anything about you that you can improve to make yourself more palatable to living a whole life with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and like even people who are freshly married, you still don't know. You have zero idea what this is going to look like for you. You are poorly attuned to living with someone for the rest of your life when it first starts.
Yeah.
And that's just true. You know,
I'm 4 years in, and I'm still learning so much every day.
Seriously. And so, like, I think the biggest problem, like the overall approach to the article is one, it's always somebody else's fault. It's either spiritual influence.
Yeah.
It's either God withholding something. It's either God saying, I'm not going to fulfill this for you for a special reason. Either way, all you have to do is look outside of yourself and go, there's something else that's causing this. It's definitely not me. When the truth of the matter, most problems are you. That is just true. Right? Like it's either a thing that you're not doing, a thing that you're being unfaithful in, a thing that you're not submitting to, and you're not making yourself available to even be around other people. You don't want to be vulnerable so you don't get hurt. All the things, right? And so, like, it's just misleading because you could run off that article for 5 years and go, I'm still the same guy, and yet nothing. Satan is really coming after me.
Or you could have been in 15 bad relationships, and then the opposite is true. The situation where you go, yeah, God keeps putting me in bad relationships. And this is I'm just mad at him for that now.
I think he loves you. That's what I think. Yes. And I think that if you will submit to a God that loves you and trust and hope within him, he is not withholding a spouse from you just to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it doesn't hurt to remind you that people tend to be attracted to people who are attracted to them. I'm just saying, it creates a soft spot for someone. They might not even notice you, but if they feel like you might like them, you become a little bit more attractive. And so feel free to share your feelings. Be bold.
Ben Seven Trips tricks to being more attractive. Find them attractive. Did you know that magnets pull together?
Yeah. Where's my reverse Uno card?
Just telling you.
Do you find me attractive? No. What if I told you that I find you attractive? Do you find me I'm slightly more attractive now?
Yes, I do. Dating guys with Ben.
Oh, categorical intrigue.
Now, I want to know.
This works.
Go ahead.
No, no.
Is this author saying the whole entire Catholic Church is satanic with all their priests?
They did not mention that part.
I mean, none of them are married.
Yeah, that could have been part of the unsaid things. That was number five on the list.
You are a Catholic.
Yeah. Number five reason why God is probably keeping you single. You're Catholic.
You're a Catholic.
You made a vow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here.
This is going to be just as good.
No, okay. We're going to skip one.
Discernment.
Because it gets around kind of the same
topic. How attractive,
topic.
Ben?
But let's do 10 self-destructive thoughts 10? To eliminate to be happier.
It took us 30 minutes to get through 4, and you want to go for a tenner?
We're going
to
burn them.
We're going to move. Here we go. 10 self-destructive thoughts.
This has potential.
Oh, we're going to burn them.
This could be good. Number one, turn your life around today.
That's self-destructive?
This is turned your life around today?
Okay. This claims to be self-destructive. Let's see what it says. Your mind is a powerful tool. It can make you, semicolon, or your mind can break you. Weird.
It is responsible.
Stop coming after me, man.
It is responsible.
I own you.
For your raw emotions. And without even knowing it, you may have unintentionally, unknowingly become a glutton for punishment. If these behaviors are left unchecked, it can lead to destructive decisions that can keep you from achieving true happiness. But you do have the ability to refrain from indulging in self-destructive activities. To get started, oh, that wasn't number one.
That was just, okay. I was trying to figure that out.
It was like a subtitle.
Yeah, this the top 10 things to stop doing. Here's all of them and number one.
Really weird. Okay. All right.
Things to stop being self-destructive.
Here we go.
Don't be self-destructive.
Number one, self-destructive thoughts. Too much pride. Remember, no man is an island unto himself. Welcome the help from others in any shape, manner, or form to thrive.
Any shape.
Disagree. Disagree.
I am the best.
This is very far into welcome any thoughts into this. Don't be full of yourself, but like that doesn't mean that you need to let everything in.
No.
That was weird.
No, we discern our way through these things. Help claims to be, like bad help claims to be good help.
Fellas, this is why we don't write articles, because our top 10 would just be like, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Stop being dumb. Get out of your own way because you're stupid.
Okay. So.
But you guys are saying it's good to be proud.
No.
Prideful.
No. Don't be so prideful, but like that doesn't mean let every other person's thoughts in. Like there has to be a level of like, you don't have to hate yourself.
Yeah.
The argument here seems to be don't be prideful, let all thoughts in of everyone else and allow them to help you in all situations.
I know you guys have seen this in a corporate environment. Like the current corporate culture thought is to bring in a bunch of people and they will eventually suss out like the best of what the room had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And really what happens is there's two people that should be having a conversation and eight other people muddying the waters.
Oh, yeah.
And making it take a really long time. And then also by the time the best decision had come out because the two people finally hashed it out, they've also agreed to do four of the things that were unnecessary to appease the other eight that had no business in there.
Yeah, you could make a whole job of being the guy that walks into that room and goes, you eight, leave.
You're out of here. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the problem with this advice, right? Like 1,000 people will offer to claim to help, but their motivations matter. A lot of people want to help you because they want to be the one that helped you.
Or they'll help you in the wrong way.
Correct. And so like, but the motivation of where that help's coming from does matter.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, especially as we, look at a life following Christ, like I only take advice from other people that are following Jesus. Right. I only actually tell like there are, three levels of knowing me. The people who follow Jesus know the top shelf level,
mm-hmm.
right? They know all the stuff about me. They know it's all the questions I ask them. The B-level people, I do love them, but they're just things I'm not going to discuss with them, right? Because, like, I don't need their input. Not that I don't want to be their friend or don't want to love them, but, like, I just don't want their advice. It's not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cost of having a seat at that table and to have an opinion that I'll listen to is you got to show some fruit.
Yes.
Like you got to show good fruit.
Yes. We have fealty to King Jesus. And I only do that because I've seen him work in so many awesome ways. I would be a fool not to.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as that line's drawn, like, I love you. I appreciate that you love me. Your advice doesn't matter to me. I'm apathetic to it completely.
Thanks for being in my life.
Yes.
I'm not going to listen to you.
I'm not.
So the open throat that says, welcome the help from others in any shape, manner, or form. That's too far. There is something though here about it is self-destructive to not listen to input from anybody else.
Right. Agreed.
You do not have the market cornered on just about anything. Yeah. And here's the thing, even everything you do was totally righteous and good and the best way to go about it. If other people are not taking it in that same way, like you still have to modify.
Right. Yes.
I don't know. Like,
you can't be a prideful island.
I remember Mike, told me this one time because he threw something I would say back at me. Is like we were, I think it was at the church or something, and we weren't getting the responses we expected from some event or something to sign up for. And I'm like, I communicated this thing like 10 times in 3 different ways. Like people are not responding to it. And I'm like, they kind of suck. And he's like, you suck. he goes, wouldn't you say that, like, regardless of the fact that you've done it 10 times in 3 places, you're obviously not doing it in the right way in the right places. Otherwise, more people would respond.
Numerous doesn't mean effective, Ben.
And I said, well, yeah, like, and it's pretty natural to go like, but I tried very hard and that may very well be true, but it doesn't make it effective.
Yeah, right.
And so but either I can blame all the other people for not responding the way I expected, or I go, Maybe I should change myself and something I did.
This is the exact question the Democratic Party is asking itself after the election. You know what I'm saying? Like, they spent 2 weeks going, the whole country sucks. And then maybe a couple of days went, you know what? It's possible that we're not saying anything they can agree
to. What did we present?
Correct. Yeah. And so, like that happens in major political landscapes about every third, you know, election or whatever. But, like, that's hard to take in, where you thought you had the market cornered on being great. It turns out nobody agreed with you.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough times.
Okay.
All right. Number two.
Nine more.
Second. Okay, we'll start moving. Second self-destructive thought to eliminate destructive coping mechanisms such as drugs, smoking, and alcohol.
I don't know. A good cigarette now and again.
Just hearing you say, I don't know, immediately I was like, what? Huh? Like this one was fairly well stated of like, hey, don't give in to drugs and alcohol. And Mike comes in real quick with, I don't know.
That's pretty strong.
I mean, heroin every once in a while.
Have you seen somebody having a smoke?
They don't want to waste it. What if it's third-hand smoke from the smoke shack? Fine. Yeah, I mean, agree. Stop doing drugs and getting drunk.
Run to God.
Like 99% agree. Maybe there's a 1% available out there, but probably not.
Yeah, it doesn't say nothing about no chewing tobacco.
They got that strawberry shortcake vape juice, too.
I just like strawberry shortcake. Is that on the list?
I want to chew gum. I want to chew snus. Come on.
I'll chew anything, really. Sometimes I chew the cud with the cows.
Self-destructive thoughts to eliminate. Staying in bad... These aren't thoughts. Like,
these are actions.
These are just... Yeah, okay. Staying in bad relationships, which they've chosen an odd picture of a dude comforting a lady. Like, I'm not sure what's bad about this.
Right from that. What an odd thing to show out there. Yeah. Never let a man comfort you.
Okay. All right. I mean, whatever. Yeah, don't... I guess don't stay in bad
relationships. This article's ridiculous. Here's 10 things to stop doing. Drugs. Being prideful. Being in bad relationships. Yeah, okay, all right.
I love my bad relationship.
Were you expecting opposition here, friend?
Four, frivolous spending, especially when you know you can't afford it. That's what makes it frivolous.
Okay.
These are only momentary desires.
Get behind me, Satan.
Oh, man, but I love my Starbucks.
I mean, here's the thing. I understand that these are sometimes ways in which we avoid. These are avoidance tactics. I don't want to have to deal with a thing, and so I'm going to take a momentary thing to cover it up. But, like, obviously, like, you can't continue to behave in these types of ways. It doesn't actually cover it up. It's get to the root of the stuff. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're going to start unearthing a bunch of things that are too big for you. And so they're Jesus's to carry. And so you're trying to solve what is an eternal or a deeper problem with shallower things, and it just won't be effective.
Here's the problem when you have an author submit something for publication and the editor changes the title because it's not matching the article.
Yeah, agreed.
And they're talking about behaviors.
Yeah, right.
Which is like, it took thought to get to the behavior, but that's not talking about changing the thought, just saying change your behavior.
It just makes me sad about how much of these kind of articles are telling of like the way that people take in advice nowadays. Because everything has to be a list, and everything has to be like a list of things I should or shouldn't do. Tell me what to think. Rather than like an article that I would write in opposition to this is the one way that you should live. And it's just like, yeah, look and smell like Jesus.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the publication. I offer nothing else. And then I have a comment section underneath it. It's not very helpful. I know that.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. I'm just saying like 10 things of their self-destructive to stop doing. Drugs. Okay. Glad we're on the same page there, friend.
Okay. Yeah. Here's good number five, guilt. Got to stop it with the guilt. Keep bad memories where they belong, in the garbage.
I thought it literally just said guilt. You left a long pause there.
Yeah.
And I would not have been surprised if so far it's four things with a ridiculous statement and the number five is just guilt.
Okay. So like this one is actually probably legit. And like it does speak to the good news. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, sure.
If you don't believe that the things that you've done can actually be forgiven and renewed completely as if it never happened, then like it's arrogant to drop them.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like without an arbiter or to have paid for them, then that guilt does belong to you and you should hold it, you know?
Yeah.
But like that goes to sin that you've committed against other people. And it also goes to sin that you've committed against yourself. That like if the one who ultimately it is owed to said, the debt is gone. That should speak volume enough for you
to help process in your brain to drop it. And so like guilt is a, it's like, it's not like an emotion or a response that is unknown to God, right? God's not like, I had no idea that they would feel a way
right.
about this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a mechanism in a which way we were created to like help highlight when you have done a thing that you should not have done, you know, or that has weight to it that you thought did not. And so like, yes, it's there as a repentance trigger mechanism.
Yeah, right.
And you should use it as such.
Yeah. You can have a broken heart for things you've done.
Yes.
Absolutely. Like broken and contrite heart. Totally. Yes. Bring that, not just sacrifices. But like when that leads to a shame cycle of because I hate myself so much and I'm so broken in sin and lost and all this different stuff, God could never forgive me. All that leads you into is more sin and shame. Like yeah. That's all it does. Whereas God comes in and goes, no. Like feel it. You should have your heart broken for what breaks mine, which is your sinfulness. However, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like it's done. Allow yourself to feel that. Confess that sin to me. Let me take that from you like I already did. You're not hopeful for something that's going to happen in the future. You're thankful for something that's already happened. And let's move. We've got work to do.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. Number six, keep on making the same mistakes.
Wait a minute. All you had to do was not keep making the same mistakes. My life is a wreck.
Why'd you wait till number six to say this? This seems like a golden ticket there, Charlie.
I've been going to the Great Clips for years.
Bowl cut, baby.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got to eliminate that.
Hey, Stop. Listen, I've had people give me this advice. Hey, man, I really messed up. They're like, you should stop doing that.
Yeah,
like, right. I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I obviously came with that already, or I wouldn't have seemed so sad about this situation. Hey, I keep making mistakes. Woohoo!
Number seven. 10 self-destructive thoughts to eliminate to be happier. Instant gratification. This is when you only think of the immediate future without considering the long-term consequences. This is not true. I tell you what, every Reese's peanut butter cup I ever purchased...
Okay, I thought same thing about Long John's.
Yeah, I delighted in that.
You could be talking about three things. You could be talking about the type of underwear, you could be talking about the type of donut, or you could be talking about Long John Silver's.
I
would not be surprised by all three of those.
Although
I'm being real honest about your life and what you might get instant gratification from, I believe it could be any of those three things.
I'm going to tell you, though, like I used to work construction, and like I thought I was going to work outside all day, and it was a dead of winter, so I put on some Long John's. And then they're like, no, man, we changed it. You're going to go inside and work in the hospital all day. And boy, that was the most uncomfortable day. Those Long Johns were way too much.
These Long Johns.
But I thought, where am I going to ditch these Long Johns? Like, I'm going to have to go into the bathroom and then basically get down to my nothings. And then, like, I'm just going to keep them on. And it was so uncomfortably hot with these Long Johns on. And I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Just the level of crisis you were in because of Long Johns.
Didn't have children
fantastic.
For 4 years.
Oh, so bad. I thought, I'm doing bibs. Always. I will always add to my base layer. I will never, supplement my base layer
just
again.
Imagining your autobiography and you writing the story of the day the Long Johns bit me.
Chapter 9's Swamp City.
Swamp City. The tale of the Long Johns.
Oh, man.
Oh, I hated that so much.
Okay. Instant gratification. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I get it from the... Yeah. If, like, everything in your life is categorized by instant gratification, sure. Like, if you cannot possibly see past the immediate decision in front of you and only making the ones that are comfortable and immediately gratify you, yes, that is a problem. That doesn't mean that you can't have a Reese's peanut butter cup.
This is why I haven't stuck my hand in a fan. You know what I'm saying? It seems like
missing out.
I'll get there.
You are missing out on the instant gratification of stopping a fan blade with your hand.
Power.
Like the members of myself, I grab them.
I thought it would overpower and chop.
Now, no, hold on a minute. Mike, haven't you ever, like, replaced a ceiling fan?
And had to stop it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I didn't do it when it was running full-bore motor.
Pansy.
I clicked it off, and then I stopped it.
No, you stop it.
Haven't you, to move this point, have you ever changed it for the seasons? You changed the direction?
Yeah.
Whoopsie. Not why it's
Flip.
Running.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Instant gratification. You're missing out.
The button on my fans is below the blades.
No.
Every time I've ever seen it's above.
It's up in the tank.
I've lived in many houses. I may not have worked on said houses.
I know ceiling fans.
If there's anyone in this world that knows ceiling fans, it's a Abuva. I'm closest to it. I'm using it more often because I've lived in apartments and I don't really care that much about the power
bill. That's what I was telling you. These are apartment ceiling fans, Mike.
Yeah. You just, bam. Flip.
Yeah. No.
Let go.
Yeah.
And no. Then it may go. As you said, as you stop it. Like it may growl at you, but you tame that beast, Mike. You aren't deterred by a little purr.
I just let no. That,
no.
No, I've never
you
done
stop
it.
Stop the fan.
No, you got to shut it down and let it, as it's on its spin down, you're then you can out. Stop it if you want.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Number later in the list is second guessing yourself. Hold on. This is an exhausting, tiresome, wasteful activity to indulge in. I mean, maybe.
No, it's not. If you made a terrible decision, second guess it. Good job having wisdom and discernment, friend.
I do this all the time. I am not sure about just about anything I've done all day.
I mean, I think there's plenty of space for like, hey, have confidence in yourself and make decisions. Like, yeah. That's a space that you can live in. But it doesn't, like, just flat out stop second guessing yourself. What if you went the wrong way down a one-way road? And then you went, oh, crap, I'm going the wrong way down a one-way road. Guess second and flip a U-ey and go the right way. You don't just steam ahead into traffic.
This is a right-sizing of the way you live your life. Every bad thing that's happened to me has almost always been a result of me not second-guessing myself. And so there's no way that past performance doesn't get to play in to current availability of ideas.
Jog on, friend.
I don't know. I'm married to someone who second-guesses everything, and it can be paralyzing.
Sure, yes.
Well. And I think that's what they're talking about.
Mm. Fair. And there's definitely space for don't second-guess all the situations. Yeah. Have confidence in yourself.
I want to have toast.
Have enough forethought that you don't have to second-guess yourself, right? Yeah. But like, if it's, it can totally be crippling, and that's completely fair. Yeah.
Okay. When we go to a restaurant, this kills me.
Oh, gosh.
Like, I love this woman.
Said the man with the long johns.
I'm just, every time we go out to eat, my wife always, she's the adventurous type at these restaurants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen.
Give me the scampi.
If you order something wild, there's literally a 50-50 shot that you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, man, I wasted my money. I always order the same thing or some kind of dependable dish that I will know that I enjoy. And she refuses. And like, my mind can't get there. Like, I am not willing to take the risk of a new dish because I don't want to be disappointed at the end of the meal and go, well, that was a waste of money. So I'll always buy the thing. A French dip is pretty solid most places.
Yeah.
And you can cover it up in a lot of au jus. And even if the au jus goes foul, you can salt that beast up, put some ketchup on there, and you're basically eating a hamburger with sliced meat in it.
Yeah.
Either way, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't lose with this and a price. And like, but my wife would be like, I got the rigatoni a la whatever. So I'm like, this is a risky move. You should have just got a hamburger because it's going to come out right, you know?
Yeah.
Give me the scampi.
I never second guess myself in these areas. And she has to do it all the time. She's like, man, maybe I shouldn't have got this, whatever, peanut butter a la tortellini. And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't have. You should have got the hamburger because it's going to be right.
I actually have the exact, I'm more likely to dry something that I've never had before.
Yeah.
But I'm never mad if it's not good. I just go, well, that's what it tastes like. What a mistake.
Yeah, totally. I threw away a whole plate of Szechuan chicken recently from a Chinese place. It was gross.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was nasty. And my wife was like, do you want to try some of mine? I was like, no, you eat your food. I'll go cook myself something else. And I threw away $14 worth of gross chicken. I was mad.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm still all right with making this decision. I tried it.
You don't know.
Now I know.
Wait a minute. Now, this is the thing. It's like, how can you compare restaurant to restaurant if you order a different dish everywhere you go? If you get a hamburger everywhere, then you can be like, that hamburger was very delicious.
I'm just imagining you starting a blog that says chicken tenders across America. It's you going to every chain restaurant that you can find. Chili's, chicken tenders. About 2 points below Applebee's.
Right.
Okay, Dave Portnoy of the chicken tender world. Freaking ridiculous.
Entry, Olive Garden, no chicken tenders.
No chicken tenders.
They suck.
Left immediately.
Took 2 minutes on my way out.
We actually we didn't follow through, but we made a goal 1 year to try all these chicken strip the area, because they're all made differently. Like, some are some place had as like in Captain Crunch is there.
Uh-huh.
We're like, anyway, we were reading all the different things. Like, we got to try it because they're very different.
Yeah.
But I mean, your typical, chip.
Yeah. I have a book called Hamburger America by a guy named George Motes that's literally just like he tried hamburgers all across the country.
He gets
and
it.
All this different stuff. And every time I go out of town, like, I take that book with me and I go to the restaurants that I'm driving
there
past.
You go.
And it's awesome and it's really cool. But that's not what you're talking
about.
That
is what I'm talking about. George Motes.
Burger King. He started a hamburger shack like in downtown New York. Like it's a cool deal. That's not your situation.
Yeah,
you're like, how could I tell if the Hardee's does just as good of a job as the Arby's if I don't always get the hamburger chicken tender?
I order a hamburger at the Chinese restaurant. I don't get Chinese food.
Of course you do. You walk in and be like, I'm sorry, do you have hamburger?
I get it from the Mexican restaurant. Everybody else is ordering all kinds of stuff. I'm like,
yes, I'd like the carne torta.
I'd have the kid's hamburger, please.
This feels like you would bring your own pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and go, hey, will you bring this out for me?
No.
I don't trust that you don't have
I
want
to know how they cook the peanut butter and jelly. That's the thing. It's like you got to compare apples to apples.
It's not how restaurants work at all.
Here's the deal. Don't make a life out of second guessing yourself. But I mean, a little bit of, hey, are you down the right road? Or should I really eat a hamburger from this Mexican joint?
Yeah. Every time. Evaluate your decisions, but don't second guess yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, Dan, just between you and me, we're not talking to move anymore. I got one of those at my place too.
You weren't even mentioned.
And she says things like, hey, help me make this decision, which is only a springboard to her to choose the opposite of what I said.
Right.
Because there's no confidence just because I said it quickly. As she goes, why didn't you think about it longer? I said, it's a very easy decision. This is decision. Well, like, I don't think you thought about it long enough, so the opposite must be right.
You know,
it's terrible.
When it comes to restaurants, I heard one time that if you're on a date and you've got somebody that you're going with that, like, only eats the same thing every single time, and you're the more adventurous eater, you can help them by ordering the thing that they always order, and then they can then be adventurous and order something that they didn't normally order so that they can go back to their safe space if they didn't like it.
No.
And I did that one time at the Cheesecake Factory, which I don't know if you know the notorious deal with the Cheesecake Factory. They have 817 menu items, first and foremost.
Yes.
Second off, I ran into this, and the safety pick of this person was the chicken teriyaki.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got that, and then they ordered something else, and their adventurous order was probably just like the orange chicken, and it was crazy. And then she didn't like it, but I sat there with this chicken teriyaki, and what I had not found out was that the chicken teriyaki had bones in it.
Oh.
And so I ate a big old piece of this chicken teriyaki and then had a chicken bone in my mouth, and I had to figure out how to spit it out into a napkin. But I was young enough, and it was very seldom that I ever, like, enticed a woman to go on a date with me.
Yeah.
So I ate a chicken bone because I could not figure out how to spit this thing out with some class yet. Uh-huh. Like, very, very, like, 19-year-old booba. I had no idea how to be on a date, and I had no idea how to have class. Uh-huh. So my classy nature ate a whole chicken bone. That I just was like, this is good living. That's not pertinent to this conversation other than picky eaters. So there you go.
Actually, what I thought of when you were saying that was if my wife ordered a hamburger to put me in my safe space, there'd be two people ordering hamburgers. Like, you ain't going to bully me around. I'll get the hamburger anyway.
I'll get the hamburger, and then you get something else. Guess what? Dose hamburgers.
What I've had happen many times is I'll order something different, and my lovely bride will order her normal thing, and then she'll take a bite of mine and goes, she'll go, I like yours better. So she'll end up eating my fun thing because then she's really bored with her meal and I'll eat her boring meal. And this happened way too many times.
I was going to say, this sounds like happiness in marriage, Dan.
Yeah. You do. You do what you got to do.
I took the opposite advice. I defensively order mushrooms on things to keep my wife away from it.
Can I get you extra shiitake on that, please?
I sure did ruin
it. Listen here, this is a free country. And this is all coming out of my wallet, and you can order absolutely anything you want. You can order two things for all I care.
Right, yes.
But I'm going to put mushrooms on this thing, so you stay awake. This is mine. This is in my area.
These are waffles, sir. Mushrooms.
My wife and I start off, if we're doing an adventurous eating date thing, we start off with, like, either we're going to eat our own food or we're going to share. Like, we have to set that expectation at the beginning. Like, hey, let's go get a couple things we can share off everything, or I got my food, you got your food. Stay away.
Has that been violated?
No.
You kept to it.
No, we've kept to it. But I will tell you, the moment I realized that I love my wife was when I ordered for the first time when I lived out east. They don't have Culver's.
Yeah.
So we came back to the Midwest. I got a triple butter burger with bacon.
Yeah.
And I was real excited about it. This woman, as I'm eating this bacon cheeseburger that I hadn't had in years, reaches over and grabs a piece of bacon out of the sandwich and just snakes it out. She had not mentioned that she was going for this.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't like, hey, baby, that bacon looks good. Can I have a bite? She just went, and then snaked it and then ate the piece of bacon.
Uh-huh.
And when I tell you that, like, the previous 27 years of my life came rushing into me of like, you are a man and you will not stand for this. This is not how this world works. That was your bacon. And then I went, I got a choice to make. I got to choose marriage or this is a bacon. Boob-a world. I get my bacon. And I just looked at her. And I was like, did you enjoy that? And she goes, yeah, it was great. And I was like, I'm so happy that you enjoyed
it. And then I slapped her hand. And I said, never again.
And I went, no. And she loves that story. She was like, I knew he loved me then. And I was like, were you testing me? Was that what that was? Ridiculous.
My heart grew four sizes that day.
Yeah, I was no longer the bacon Grinch after that day.
Okay. There were two more. One, being too critical of yourself. That's not worth it, man. Like, I tell you what, I swear, not only people are too critical of themselves, but they cannot be talked out of it.
Yeah.
I'm just, listen to me. Sometimes you don't take yourself in right.
Totally. Yeah.
And I guess it's very frustrating because it's like it's willful. It masquerades as humility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's
self-deprecation.
Yeah, and I get there's a protection in it. I kind of understand that. There's like, I don't want to seem like I'm inflating myself.
Sure, it's fierce.
But, like, it's the same problem whether you inflate yourself or, like, wrongly or deflate yourself wrongly. Like, mm-hmm. let's just deal with what we have.
Yeah, right.
And, like, I get this from one of my daughters, like, about not using the mirror. She's like, I don't look in the mirror. I get up, I just walk out. Like, I do not use the mirror for any reason. I haven't found a need. Because here's the thing, like, it is what it is.
I literally just had this conversation with my wife yesterday.
Yeah, like, what am I going to do? Primp it up? Like, I got to deal with what I got flat out. I'm a really normal looking fella, like, straight in the middle looking guy.
Wow.
And it is what it is. And so, like, I don't avoid the mirrors, like, oh, I can't take it in. I can take it in, but I don't go, ooh, I got to take it in twice. I don't know how to do that either.
Do a double take on that, friend.
It just is. And so, like, it doesn't mean anything to me. But if I got a boogie out to nose, I might as well reckon with it. Someone should say, hey, man, your eyebrows are connected. You got a boogie hanging out. Like, these are all things that I might as well know. I just don't, see any... separating any emotion you may have from it, and I think you should, like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to chase this false sense of either less than or greater than? Like, you are what you are. Let's take it in, and let's work with it.
I refuse to look at light bouncing back at my face of my face. This is ridiculous.
Wow. I've never found it. What am I going to do in it?
Here's what you should do. This is how it came up yesterday, is I like to pick my nose hairs when I drive.
Yeah.
Because I don't look in the mirror at the house, and I don't realize how unruly they've gotten. But I always look in the rearview mirror of the car. So I'll see them flow in the breeze. I'm like, man, those got to go.
You got to pick them out.
And then I'm picking my nose hairs, like pulling them out.
Your
the woman's like, don't be pulling your nose hairs out in this car. I'm like, why? This is when I do it.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? like, literally, the fact that both of you are normalizing this behavior, like, yeah, this is the kind of thing that I'm going to give advice about. This is totally fair. I'm going to say this out to the world on a podcast and say how great it is to live this way. You two are ridiculous.
Road trips are made for that.
You are ridiculous.
I was on a...
One of you was like, I can't do anything about it, so I don't look in the mirror ever. And the other one's like, I hate looking in the mirror, and so when I am looking in the mirror while I'm driving is when I go, better go excavating, friends. We got some mowing to do. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with the two of you?
Yeah.
Act normal. This is insane.
Any drive more than 25 minutes is harvest.
I hate that. I hate that so much.
Hey woman, put on International Harvester.
I'm a son of a third generation farmer. It's one of my favorite songs ever. Anyway, okay. We got to get the licensing from that from Craig Borgen now.
Finally, choosing the wrong friends. You know who they are.
Yeah, two of them are in this room. I get it. I was away from this for 9, but I made it my way back in on 10.
Just because your nose looks like Woodstock doesn't mean you got to come after me.
My nose looks like Woodstock. Do you mean the bird?
No.
Or do you mean like it's in the event that happened in 1969?
Yeah, the long flowing hippiness of it.
Don't take the brown acid of my nose? Is that what you're saying? That's disgusting.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. If you have any additional thoughts.
Oh, the country, where are you?
About the 10 things you shouldn't. I don't want to hear about it. If you have any reaction to this article, you just keep it to yourself. We don't want to talk about it anymore. You're listening to Life from the Path. All right, we're going to see if we can deal with this quickly. Is it okay to not like Solomon? Why do you potentially not like Solomon?
So what's happened is I haven't recently read 1 Kings.
Yes.
And so I had this, not deified by any means, but like this real perspective or like stuck on the wisdom of Solomon and the splendor of Solomon and the glory of Solomon, like all this different stuff. And I got stuck in the thought of how cool was it that like given the opportunity to like go to God in a dream and ask for something, I thought it was awesome that he goes like, yeah, like give me wisdom, not strength or power or, nope. You know, money. Just allow me to govern your people. And what an awesome thing to do right after he becomes king. Like, this is an awesome situation. And then almost immediately, when you actually read the story that's happened in 1 Kings, friggin' like Solomon then goes like, hey, we're going to build God a temple. It's going to be awesome. But you should check out my house. It's going to be real nice. Like, it's going to be awesome. And then immediately goes into like, and then he allowed his wives to come in and like build more temples for other gods right outside of Jerusalem on the hill to the west. Mm. It's like, come on, man. Like, and then it just goes rough for a long time. I just feel like I skipped past all of those parts and only remembered the man. It was really cool that he asked for wisdom and Solomon the wise and what we get from him from Proverbs and Psalms. It's great. No, what? This dude sucked.
Yeah.
He is referenced throughout scripture as like having the wisdom of Solomon.
Right.
Yeah. Like he pulled out this one thing that God specifically gave him and said this was the best thing to know about him. And then everything else about him was poor, and he set up Asherah poles, and he did not raise a kid that was going to follow Yahweh. And he's not anybody to look up to.
Right. And like his dedication to the temple was really awesome. Like a lot of great prayers that he's bringing up, like reflect some earlier great prayers, that were said about the kingdom of Israel. Like there was good things, but it's just like, holy cats, man. Like, I don't know why. The real thing I'm running into is how often I remember just a fraction of a story. Mm-hmm. And then I get a real big thought in my head about how I'm supposed to live my life. And then I go back and I read the thing again. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
Yeah. Solomon. He's no good. He's Well, but the thing is most of the Old Testament is that way, right? Like, yeah. Even all the examples we think of and you're like, man, I mean, they have such glaring, they're not good archetypes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're written that way, like to show the work that God does through them.
Sure,
that yeah. we can pull out. But like, yeah, Solomon as a whole, like even with all the evidence that he had of who God was, like, it wasn't enough for him to keep right. it on the straight and narrow. You know,
right?
Yeah. Okay, so it's okay. Is it okay to go? Besides the fact that he is referenced as wise, I think he's kind of like thinking about David after God's own heart.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It doesn't imply that every action David yeah. took, God is okay with.
No.
Yeah.
And Solomon was not. I mean, obviously, he married hundreds of ladies, and right. so this is not wisdom.
Yeah, built a house for Pharaoh's daughter at the same time as he's building a house for the Lord.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So I think it's all right to be like, I don't care for that.
Yeah, and taking the step back and like answering the simple question, yes, but like also read your Bible closely. Like it's super easy to grab a hold of like the patriarchs and a lot of the big name stories and then forget some of the really rough things. And it's important for the context of like how good God is and what he did through rough people over and over and over again to create a family that brought glory and his name to all the generations and nations of the earth. Like, it's important to read all that stuff. Do not read your Bible too fast.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of skimming through Hebrews 11. I thought, he doesn't really show up there. I was like, well, he's called a hero there, but he really isn't. But these are human beings, fallible human beings.
Totally,
so
yes.
Like, as y'all said, it's like every character you look at had human flaw, mm-hmm. and as do we.
Right.
But there's some things we can learn from them. But yeah, we tend to glorify, we tend to have this Hollywood romantic totally. Version of all the Bible heroes. You
Same
know,
with
of,
Moses of the past, and Abraham.
All the Sunday school lessons that everything's great. And when, we don't get the nitty gritty stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And until you become an adult and you read the story, and you go,
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. I got the children's Bible version of Noah, and then I'm like, oh, crap, some rough stuff happened with Noah. And then Jonah. And, like, it didn't end with Jonah and the whale. It didn't go, and then Jonah lived a great life and did wonderful things for the Lord.
I mean, I remember, like, just the first time I really looked into, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12. It's like, that's major dysfunction in those first four generations, like major dysfunction. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was like the perfect family and the Messiah came from, you know. And I would have been just like them. I was like, I don't want to be like them at all. You know?
Yeah. Every one of the patriarchs. Hey, what do you think about your wife?
Which one?
Yeah. Which one are you talking about? Oh, that's not my wife. Servant. That's my sister.
Yeah. And I don't let my sister near my food. I order mushrooms.
Slap. No.
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 Okay. I think we spent too much time on bad articles. So we're going to have to pick up Romans 12.
Yeah.
Is it next 13. Week? 13. Okay, so Mike, we got advice on Dear Life from the Path.
Dear Life from the Path, my mother-in-law has a habit that makes me sick to my stomach.
Oh, dear.
When we are out to dinner with her, she frequently asks, can I have a taste of that? And then, without waiting for a response, she'll stick her fork or spoon into my food and take a piece of it.
This is your mother-in-law?
It nauseates me when I try to eat the rest of the serving. I don't know how to deal with this. She's very sensitive and easily offended, and I've always had the feeling she doesn't like me. And doesn't think I'm good enough for her son.
Wait, who's sensitive?
The mother-in-law.
I think it's the author.
Dan, the article will speak for itself. Despite Dan's pleas, I have asked my husband to nicely ask his mother to stop doing this, but he refuses because he doesn't want to insult his mother.
What?
When I told him it makes me sick to my stomach, he asked if I ever actually gotten sick from eating food or used utensils of touch, and I had to admit that I have not. So he said, then where's the harm? It still bothers me. What can I do?
I mean, unfortunately, I would have done what you did and ask your husband. It's ridiculous that your husband was like, I'm not going to offend my mom. I can't. If my mother was eating the food of my wife, even though she has, like, told me that she didn't want it to happen, I will have that conversation with my mother.
Ah, come on. That's an endearing thing. She's not being, I mean, it's just, she's taking a bite.
Yeah.
Man, taste that.
But the flip side could be, oh, come on. She just doesn't want you to eat her food.
I mean,
like on both sides of that works.
I think it depends. Okay. So I think when there is a recognition that different people do react to this differently. So of my four children, there's one specifically who will not drink or eat or anything after anybody else.
Yeah,
she'll take, like, if we got something that the family's going to try, like a drink or something to try in the car, she'll take a drink and then not touch it again. And so nobody else in the family particularly cares. And so, like, knowing that, unless you're trying to intentionally antagonize her, you wouldn't go about doing that. And so I think it is there is a bit of a lack of sensitivity. Like, it does bother some people in ways that may not bother you. If the mother-in-law is easily offended, I feel like it will take very little effort to go ahead and offend her and tell her to stop on it, like, knock it off.
Yeah.
So you think you should use this sensitivity and easily insultedness to your advantage?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a rough way of putting it.
No, I he tried to bait the hook and I took it.
Like, you showed attraction. Yeah. He was like, I find you more attractive.
It is not a virtue to be overly sensitive.
Okay. So she spies over with this spork of hers and you go, whoa there, Hagrid.
Whoa there, Hagrid. Yes. Yes, insult your mother.
I would say, look, it grosses me out. Let me cut you some off or something. Like, right. I think that's fine. Yeah.
What if you just said COVID a couple times? COVID.
from the back.
I got a plenty of good ideas to help with this problem.
Yeah. Hey, anyway, I'm not saying I don't have tuberculosis. I mean, leave it at that.
It's also weird that she, like, asks and then doesn't wait for the answer. I wonder how true that is, actually, based off the person saying it. But
to be fair, you said that she doesn't really like you anyway. I mean, I'm not really sure where the deficit is.
I'm not saying the person that's saying to her mother-in-law, don't eat my food, is a sane human being that makes great decisions all across the board. Like, she sounds very sensitive of her own self. There's probably a lot more to this relationship that she's not talking about. She's just letting us know about the very specific scenario in which she doesn't like their food is being taken.
So I think there's a recognition of the uniqueness of people in two different places. So if you're the person who does not like the mother trying some of your food, just recognize that might be unique to you. It's not crazy that someone wanted to try your food out.
Yeah, right.
I think to Dan's point,
how she grew up is important with that. Maybe that's the way that she's always eaten at the table with everyone around her.
Yeah, so don't overreact and act like this woman is some sort of like debased scavenger.
Yeah, my mother-in-law has herpes. Yeah. And then she always tries to eat off my plate, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Why? Why?
Took a weird turn.
Okay. How dare the two of you tell me that I took a weird turn?
No, sir. Nose hair picking is not the same thing as the herp.
I mean, the herp made it weirder, too. My mother has herpally herpalies, and I do not like that at all.
Anyway.
What comic book did you just create?
Anyway.
Herpally herpalies. Okay.
Wasn't that a Greek hero?
It's fine.
Sidebar question.
I'm sure.
Oh, no. Okay. Now I repent of what I've done. I repent of what I've done because I did this.
Okay. Hold on.
Sidebar question.
First of all, if you ordered a hamburger, she can't come over with a fork and steal it. You know, so she'd have to pull it off your plate and two-hand it.
That's true.
I think that's way more difficult.
Defensive ordering. I only want handheld, sir.
Yeah. Hamburger and fries. And they go, but sir, you get two sides. You're like, double fries.
Well, you can steal fries.
That's what I was going to say. You can have one of my fries.
You can take fries because it doesn't involve a utensil.
Yeah.
It should be
easy. Stop eating pasta that's one homogenous serving of all the same thing that's touched itself.
Or soups.
Yeah.
True.
Okay. Soup's gross. I don't know if I would share soup with somebody. Like, something about a casserole makes me think that, like, or a noodle dish, it just touches the food. But, like, when you put a spoon that's been in your face into someone else's cesspool of a bowl, then it's just migrating throughout the bowl.
That's true.
Like, then it's a bacteria slew, and then the whole thing is gross. Yeah, I don't think you can share soup.
It's like
Jason, why does your wife only order Cheez-Its nowadays? It's very confusing.
It's like bathing in the same water.
That's
gross. Yeah. Don't throw the baby out with the tomato bisque.
So, long story short, first of all, Dan finds this behavior endearing. This old woman that types food off people's plates.
But you don't do that to a stranger, generally.
So you're saying it's a compliment?
No, it's someone that you're comfortable with.
Comfortable stealing food from you. I don't know if you're... apparently, she's not comfortable with it at all. So maybe she really does like her a lot.
Yeah. She's showing how much she loves her by constantly eating her food.
This feels like the equivalent of an uninvited back rub.
Ooh.
A Biden.
Yeah, that's right. You got Biden'd.
She's smelling my hair.
How you like that, Dan? Is that your favorite now? Isn't it?
I've changed my mind.
My mother-in-law keeps Bidening me.
I got Joe Biden by my mother-in-law. And I don't know what to do.
Okay. Your life from the past. I keep getting bodied by my mother-in-law. It's so bad. What do I do?
Okay. So the advice is, I think you should mention it. But I also think, like, you should take it. Don't be so easily offended. Maybe order defensively if it really amps you up.
Why don't you cut it off right when you get it?
You know, it'd be really
fun. Yeah, you know what's going to happen.
You should bring a binder with you. Like a school binder with you, and set it up like a fence around your food.
Yeah.
So that,
like Battleship.
Yeah. Eunice can't even see what you get. Like whisper what you ordered and then set up a Battleship situation where she can't figure out what you've ordered and can't get to it. Start playing defense. Smack the spoon.
Yeah.
The conversation will come up.
No. Hey, can I have a bite of that? No.
Fine.
Get better at food defense. Yeah, okay.
What you doing over there, Harold? Protect strategic defenses against you.
B6, miss.
So far, here's the thing. So far, it appears you've tried nothing.
Other than telling your husband.
Yeah, and your lump of a husband is not going to help you in this area. So I think between Dan and I, we've come up with some good plans apart from the Battleship binder. take off get fresh silverware for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Take a big old slop of it and throw it on her plate and go, here you go. You want to try some of this? And then nobody's, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Heap coals on her. No, give her the portion beforehand.
Yeah, do it. And then her fork's not sneaking into your area.
Make it a game. You have the little app plates, and everybody take a little piece off, and everybody gets their own little plate of everybody's food.
I really like this binder idea, though. I'm being honest about it. Like, I don't stand ground often on these Dear Live from the Past, but I'm putting my foot down.
It would be
here.
Even better if the cover image on the binder was the food you have.
little barbed wire on top.
You to trying to break down my defenses.
Put some thought into it.
Ain't getting through this wall.
Or a completely different food.
Why does it always look like you have beef stroganoff?
All mushrooms.
Don't ask me questions.
I'm comparing restaurants.
I get the stroganoff wherever I go.
Okay, here we go. So the question was, what can I do? Secular says, whether your mother-in-law thinks you aren't good enough for her precious son is irrelevant. Because tolerating her rudeness hasn't endeared you to her, you might as well start standing up for yourself. Next time she asks for a taste of that, smile, grab your plate, cut her off a piece, and then hand it to her.
Oh, that ended differently than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You got time for one more?
Yeah, one more.
Okay, here we go. Dear. Nope, that's not wrong. That's not right. Talk to me. Dear Life from the Path. What was that, Phyllis? I heard that. My stepdaughter, Annie, gave my husband a photo album of his life for his 80th birthday. The album included pictures of his parents and grandparents, as well as photos from his first marriage to Annie's mom. She included one picture of their wedding and two more of them posing as a loving couple. She included a few pictures of me, even though her dad and I have been married for more than 40 of his 80 years. A photograph from our wedding was not included. I love Annie. We get along well, and I am very hurt that she included these two pictures of the loving couple. I feel it was inappropriate for an album she expects to be displayed in our home for family, friends, and neighbors to see. I would like to ask her to reprint the album without these two pictures. Am I being unreasonable?
Yes.
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 That's her mom.
Done.
But
I get it.
Damn.
Like, I get it. She could have been more thoughtful.
She's
got to
be 60 years old. Why is she using words like stepdaughter and stuff? I mean, it's like dad's 80, right? So she's probably 80. So the child, quote unquote, is 60. I mean, this is dumb. I mean, you haven't qualified. You haven't called this woman mother yet, ever, in all these decades that you've known her? I don't know.
I suppose she's been married to him for 40 years. It means they got married when they were 40. I mean, like, the kid was grown up.
Yeah.
Before this
that's
woman
That's a good
came,
point. Yeah, it wouldn't count
that's
that.
What I would say.
Yeah.
And so, like,
Annie was potentially 40.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So it's her life with her dad. So, okay. I mean, yeah. I changed
it
my mind.
It does have pictures of the new couple in there.
Not their wedding.
Yeah, not their wedding.
Yeah, so it's got pictures of stepmom in there, just not their wedding.
It's just a little selfish on her side.
There is plenty of things that she could have included.
Yeah, or his gift. It should have included
It's probably
the longest wedding of marriage.
From her perspective.
Sure. Yeah. This is my dad.
Yes.
And my mom.
Yeah, so it's going to be flavored probably that way.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have hurt, though, to add the other wedding.
Should you have her reprint it? No. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You were hurt by the thing. I can understand. But you can also put yourself in Annie's position. You could tastefully approach the situation. Just be like, hey, is there something about us that, like, you're upset about? But probably not, because you're 80, and Annie's potentially 40 to 60.
Yeah. There's a good chance. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you might not. It's just going to be displayed in your home.
Yeah.
Okay. Put it in a corner.
Probably all of their friends, current friends, don't even know they were married before. So it could be that's like awkward. Like, I've been with him for 40 years and, there was this other gal.
I mean, maybe. Don't display it on the mantle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not part of the deal, right? He could just put it in a drawer somewhere.
Sure. We print off albums every year for stuff.
I don't ever go through people's photo albums.
No.
Unless they sit down and say, come and look. Yeah.
Yeah, people put it out for a year. And then after year 81 of your life, put it away and then move on.
You didn't actually say if the dad like really loves it or was
I bet he does.
I mean, maybe. It'd be awkward to celebrate your first marriage in front of your second wife, I think, a little bit. but maybe it
sounds
wouldn't.
Like Annie's mom's dead.
Possibly.
Maybe.
That's actually a very important thing for me. If Annie's mom and dad got divorced and then is married to a new woman, and now she puts in this album that glorifies her mother and then barely mentions her new stepmom, it's a little bit different than if mom died and then dad remarried. Yeah. Admittedly, I care about that, and I don't know, so I can't get the answer to that, but...
Yeah,
here's the deal. Dad's going to have dementia soon, and he's only going to remember the first wife. So maybe that's okay.
Yeah.
Make a second album. Yeah, make an album that you wish it looked like.
I know. This albums. All seems really silly. It's if it was targeted for the daughter, and these are memories of which mean something to the daughter, then you have it's not your business.
What's the gift to the dad?
Yeah, it's a gift from the daughter to the dad.
Oh.
So daughter gave to dad an album about his life, and
their
new
home.
Wife is saying, oh, it seems like you're celebrating his life and not very much of me in it, even though I've been in it for 50% of it.
Yeah,
It's heavy. Yeah. Like, I can totally understand why you're hurt, but I don't know if we need to go as far as to go, now, Annie, I would like for you to reprint this album and do the work again and add... Or she didn't even say add me. She said take the two photos out, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So like take the two wedding photos of your mother and father's wedding out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you want to do that. Like, I think that it will have consequences will really make the rest of your relationship very awkward.
Yeah.
It's just the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
So, okay, I'm going through it from my perspective. I did this for my dad, who was married to someone who was not my mother for 23 years, whatever, 20-some years. He was married to my mom for 28 years, so actually longer.
Sure.
But still, I would have only probably included his current situation. Like,
okay,
he was not with my mom anymore.
Sure.
So for whatever reason, I don't even, it wasn't for me to know. That's just, he moved on. So why would I bring that back, even though that was,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I suppose unless it was like you said, like she had passed or something.
And that's
like
different.
Like it was a happy time, and it was just, it ended because of that.
He loved her dearly. And
First wife passed away and he got remarried.
Yeah. Then that would be fair then.
Yeah, like my
dad. But then she shouldn't be threatened. Why would you be threatened?
Right. Yes.
If it was a death. I think it was a divorce.
Yeah. My dad passed away. And my mom was going to be remarried.
Yeah.
And like we looked at, like, if my parents or if my mom was still around, I very much would have included my dad in something like this.
Yeah.
I probably would have been a little bit more thoughtful to include Pat, if I'm being honest about it.
Yeah. By the way, that's the one you're currently with.
Sure. Yeah. But I don't know if I would as go as far as thinking, oh, it's going to break her heart if I didn't include their wedding. So I can totally understand why it was a miss, but it may have been malicious. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But regardless, I don't know if I would go back to Annie and go, I need you to reprint these and take out the two photos of his first marriage.
Yeah.
All right. Secular says, the question was, am I being unreasonable? Secular says, because you have a good relationship with Annie, explain to her that you felt slighted when you saw the album and why. Explain that you would like to be able to prominently display it if she would please either have it reprinted with the addition of a couple of photos of you and your husband together or with only the wedding picture of her parents. This shouldn't be difficult to do.
It's not true. This is a freaking pain in the butt to make.
Or you could just put a couple 8x10s of your wedding.
Totally.
On either
side
of it.
Plenty of ways to reconcile this that doesn't have to be a situation where it's awkward.
Yeah, that's true. That book's not the be-all, end-all representation of your family.
Yeah. It's not going to be displayed at dad's funeral. He's still alive right now. Like, there's plenty of ways around this.
Okay, you're listening live from The Path. Thanks for hanging out with us on this lovely evening. If you have any feedback on the show, please hit us up on the Live from The Path Bob Eisenlauer complaint line, 515-517-0085. Call or text 515-517-0085. We love to hear from you. And that, I think, any other feedback in addition to what you might have named your kid if you could have gotten away with it. So we'd love to hear from you. I don't know. We'll probably be back in the studio next week. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from The Path.
Going up country, where you wanna go. That's going to be stuck in my head for the next week. I haven't heard that song since the last time I watched Forrest Gump or whatever.